This evening we are going to start on the introduction of our lesson, which is called prayer and worship. And we have heard a lot about prayer. We have heard a lot about worship. And if you ask somebody what is prayer, you will say that it is talking to God. Somebody in this earth talking to somebody in heaven, a heavenly father. And what is worship? And we have got a lot of definitions. But through this Bible study, we want to understand the aspects of prayer and understand the aspect of worship. Now, worship is praises to God. When you praise God and that praise turns into a time when we are giving to God from the bottom of our heart, we are giving praises and adoration to God Almighty. And also we understand that worship is a service to God. This evening time, I just want to give an introduction of what we are going to do from the next weeks and understand, so we will understand where we are going to go from here. What the motive behind this series is to introduce you to a life of prayer and worship. Prayer is not only when you close your eyes and address somebody and mumble a few words and say amen. That is not just what prayer should be in the life of a child of God. In the life of a child of God, prayer should extend beyond a prayer time. Like worship should extend beyond a Sunday morning time when you come into the church to worship. That is not the only time to worship God. Prayer, the only time that we pray is not only when we open our mouth and speak to God and say amen. That is not what the prayer is all about. In fact, our lifestyle needs to change into a new way of living, a new way of praying and worshiping God. So we are going to talk about a lot of aspects concerning praying and worshiping. And while we are studying on this topic, we are also going to be studying on certain other areas that are related to prayer and worship. And I want to list them out to you. We are going to study about the existence of God and study about the reality of heaven, the glory, the kingdom and the will of God, making a living, getting along with neighbors, overcoming temptation and what to do in a time of sickness and trouble. So it may seem that we are straying away from our subject of prayer and worship, but when we closely look unto the time when Jesus taught his disciples, and let us turn to the scriptures. This is we will understand that our series is going to be based on a study from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And verses 5 to through to 13. This we all know as the Lord's Prayer. We all know that this is what we are terming as a Lord's Prayer. But we are going to go into depth into that kind of a prayer. You know, one time the disciples of Jesus came to him and said, Lord, you should teach us how to pray. And then Jesus taught, said that this is the manner of which you should pray for. But within that prayer of Jesus, we will go into the depth of so many different things that we ought to know and we ought to be praying to God. So there is a great lesson to be learned from Jesus about praying. Now, as I said before, prayer is never finished. It doesn't end with an amen. It is an unending activity that you continually do in the sight of God. And it should be woven in every part of our life. It should be the way we think, and it cannot be separated from whatever we do in other areas of our life. So when we talk about prayer, we are not going to talk about a time, a place or a words that we should pray for. Rather, we are going to be teaching about prayer as a preparation for worship. We are going to study about worship as a constant living in a way that pleases God and in a way that fulfills the purposes of God. Worship is not the worship time, the English praise and worship time on Sunday morning. That is not a worship alone. But worship is a way that we live our day-to-day life and engage in our day-to-day activities. We worship God through that. It is a constant living in the sight of God in a achieve the purposes that God has in our life. So we understand on that about worship. Now, this is a study on, as I said, about prayer and worship, but the emphasis will be on the priority of God's glory and the priority of God's kingdom. We are going to study in depth about what is meant by God's kingdom over man's needs and wants. We are going to think about the things that are provided to a believer to achieve that kind of a priority in our lives. Now, the study will be based, as I said, from Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 13. And the key words that we are going to look is from Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. If you have your Bibles open, could you turn to that verse? And that will be the key words of our study, which is going to continue for the coming weeks. And this is a verse that is all familiar to us. And we read here like this: but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Praise the Lord. There is another translation I want to read like this: instead, be concerned about everything else with the kingdom of God and with what he requires of you, and he will provide you with all these other things. So it starts with the believer's position as a son of God. Now, because you are a son of God, you can approach your Father's throne with confidence because you know that your prayers are going to be heard. Now, as a member of God's family, you know that you have a heavenly Father and he will give priority because you are his child. And when the priority is done in the Father's name and the kingdom and will in everything that he's doing, that will be reflected in the way that you pray to God. So, when you know what is your Father's interest in your life, and when you pray according to your Father's will, whatever you pray, God is going to grant it to you for the glory of God. So, there will be a lot of emphasis on prayer and worship, and which will lead to the next step, which is called Christian service and Christian discipleship. And walking in the Lord, and walking in the Spirit, and walking in the way that God wants you to do. So it is a guide to your personal devotion, and it will also enhance the effectiveness of how you communicate God's word. The objectives of this study, let me just spell it out. There are six objectives, and I want to tell you. The first one is that you should experience that God is a loving God. He wants that you should know him more and more, and he wants to talk to you, and he wants to communicate with you, and he wants to be worshipped by you. The first objective that we understand and experience in our own life. Number two, we will use prayer and worship as a path to understand God's plan in our life, in which his plan was to restore men into fellowship back to God and make them his sons as a family of heaven. Number three, we will look into why we are worshiping God and regarding God's kingdom and the plan of God that should have priority in our prayer. Number four, when we pray according to God's will, when we seek our livelihood as a peaceful coexistence with other people, lead a life that is overcoming life, and have a deliverance from the evil things around you, that should be the prayer that we should make to God. Fifthly, we should also establish good habits of prayer and worship that will make you Christ-like and make you an effective witness before other people, and so that you will be able to teach others who are seeking a life of prayer and worship. And lastly, you should be able to persuade other people that God loves you and God exists and he loves them and he wants to save everybody, and he rewards those who worship him above everyone else. So this is in short what we are planning to do in this coming lessons. Today I want to take just one verse and we are going to close here. As I said, Let us turn back to the key words that we have read today, and this is just a part of the introduction that we are going into it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, which is very familiar to us. It says that, let me read it out again back to you. It says that, but ye seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Tonight I want to speak for a few moments concerning God's kingdom or the kingdom of God. What is meant by seeking the kingdom of God? Now you know that when you study what is the kingdom of God, it can be three kinds of God's kingdom. One, there is a God's kingdom that is already existing in heaven right now. A kingdom where God is on the throne and there are heavenly angels who are worshipping him, and there is already a kingdom of God in heaven. That is the first part of the God's kingdom. We also understand that God wants to establish his kingdom upon the earth. Because, you know, even in the prayer that God taught us, what did he say? What was the part of the prayer that God taught the people? Let your kingdom come. What kind of kingdom was Jesus speaking about? Let your kingdom come. Is there not a kingdom of God right now? There is. Yes, there is one in heaven. But when Jesus was speaking about a kingdom of God, he was referring to the kingdom of God that he will establish upon the earth. And it is the duty of every child of God to both pray that God's kingdom may come upon this earth and also work towards bringing God's kingdom upon the earth. So that is the second aspect of the children of God. Are you all listening? In the backside, are you understanding what I'm saying? So God's kingdom is one. I'm speaking to you very simple language that you understand. All the young people should understand this. The kingdom of God is in heaven already, where God is on the throne. He is the King of Kings and he is on the throne. The second kingdom is God is planning to establish his kingdom through you and through me. He is trying to get more subjects into his kingdom so that he can establish his rule upon the earth. And that is why he said, you go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that everyone who accepts Jesus as the Lord will become a part of the kingdom. And he is going to establish his kingdom upon the earth. That is the second form of the kingdom that God is speaking about. But tonight I want to speak about a third part of the kingdom. The kingdom of God that God wants to establish within you. For that reason, let us turn to some verses. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 15. Can we all turn your Bibles, please? Mark chapter 1 and verse number 15. It says that, yes, please. Who is speaking this? Jesus spoke. He started saying that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. So repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus spoke about the king establishing his kingdom. He said it's very close to, but what you need to do is repent and believe in the gospel. So we are talking about a God's kingdom which is at hand, which is very close by. But let's understand that the mystery of the kingdom of God, Jesus did not reveal to everyone. But Jesus had his eyes and he revealed that to a select group of people while he was on this earth. As a reference, let's turn to Mark chapter 4 and verse number 11. And somebody else read Luke chapter 8 and verse number 10. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 11. What does it say here?
He said to them,
To you, it has been given to know the mystery of God. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and saying that, hey, all of you, to you it has been given to you the knowledge to know the mystery of God. But for others, it has been spelled out in parables. Let's turn to the other passage also I spoke. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 10. What does it say there? There are people outside that don't understand this. But Jesus was speaking to his disciples and say, to you it is known what is the mystery of God. Because God wants to reveal about establishing his kingdom in our lives. God is not speaking in parables now. He wants to reveal it to our lives. He wants us to know what is meant by the kingdom of God. Now, where is the kingdom of God? Let's turn to another passage. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 9. Can someone else read out, please? I want one of our young sisters to read out. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 9. Loudly, please. The kingdom of God is near you. Jesus is telling in another passage. He says, it's not too far away from you. God's kingdom is very close to you. So we understand that he wants to establish a kingdom in our lives. Now, where is it near us? Where exactly was Jesus referring to? Let us turn to another passage, Luke 17. Luke 17 and verses 20 and 21. Luke 17 and verse number 20 and 21. Yes. Jesus explained something profound to his disciples. He says, look, you don't see God's kingdom here and there. If somebody says, look, there is God's kingdom. Look, here is God's kingdom. That is not where you see where God's kingdom is. It says, it does not come with observation. You don't look around to find where God's kingdom is. Because it is not literally being seen by your mortal eyes and it is not being established here and there. But Jesus speaks about something here down. It says, the kingdom of God is where? It is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. God speaks about the kingdom of God that is trying to establish within us. In a short while, I'll explain to you what is meant by that. How does God establish his kingdom within our lives? Because it says that the kingdom of God is within you. You know, when God establishes his kingdom, and I want to just make it very clear to each one of us. Jesus wants to establish his kingdom in our lives. Jesus wants that we should help him in establishing his kingdom in our lives. What do you mean by the kingdom of God is within you? I will explain to you how it is. There was a small comic book that I had read earlier when I was a kid. It was called The Heart of Man. I don't know how many of you, maybe the old pastors may have seen that. It's called The Heart of Man. Yes. And it shows the heart of a man, of a person, how it was before he was saved or he was born again. It showed that there was a heart drawn there. In the center of the heart, there was a seat. And what was happening was that the man was sitting on that seat. All around him, there was weird animals. There was tortoise, there was snakes, there was lizard. There was all kinds of animals. And each of these animals was representing an evil nature of man. So man is sitting on the throne in his heart. And around him are the things that he is so much. Maybe there is lust of the eyes. There is pride. There is dishonesty. There is cheating. There is sexual immorality. There are a lot of things that are around him. And he is in control over his life. That man is not willing to bow before anyone else. Because he is sitting at the driver's seat. He has the steering wheel of his life. Nobody else can control this particular person. But then, as I was reading that comic book, when that man gave his life to Jesus, You know what he did? He got out from that seat. He allowed the Lord to sit at the seat and the throne of his life. And all the animals that was around him, they all went away because Jesus took control over his life. And what happened was that when he gave his control of his life to Jesus, you know what happened? Jesus became the king of his life. Jesus established his kingdom within his heart. So he became the king of his life, and then that man's desires was only one thing. You know what was that thing? It is to please my master. Many people accept Jesus as a savior. Many of us do that. But how many of us have accepted him as the Lord of our life? Has given him the position of lordship. Lord, I am your servant. I am your subject. You are the king of my life. And I want that your kingdom should be established in my life. How many of us are willing to do that? Because that is what Jesus wants. That is the meaning of seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which means seek after establishing Jesus as the king of your life and give him the throne of your life and allow him to rule over you and to guide you and to lead you every day of your life. Praise the Lord. That is what is meant by establishing God's kingdom in your life. And you know what happens? What is a sign that God is the king over your life? I will take one more reference and we are going to close here tonight. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14. I'll just take this passage and we are going to close tonight. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 17. What happens when God is the king over us and he has established his kingdom in our life? Please read out. It says it's not eating and drinking. But when Jesus becomes the king of your life, and when his kingdom is established in your life, you know what are the three things shared that should happen in your life? Tell me one more time. What are the three things that we read here? There should be three things. Listen here. All the young children, I want you to pay attention. Three things. Righteousness, which means all your actions should be right in the sight of God. Number two, there should be a peace of God in your heart. And when in the midst of problems and troubles, you are not shaken because you have the peace that God gives you at all times. And what is the third thing we are reading here? The joy in the Holy Spirit. You are rejoicing all the time. Which means it doesn't matter if one person came or 10 people came or this whole hall was filled with people. It doesn't matter. Because what is this all about? It is to serve the Lord. When God is the ruler of your life, you are not disturbed by small events that happen. Because Jesus is in control over your life. And you are following after righteousness. You are following after peace. There is the peace of God in your heart. And there is the joy of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. These are the signs that should follow us when you establish and give your throne of your life in the hand of the Master. Tonight, I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge all the young children here. Is he sitting on the throne of your life right now? Is he the one who makes the decision of what you think? Can all of us close our eyes, please? We are going to close here. I want us all the young people to just think for a moment tonight. And I'm telling you by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. How are your thoughts every day that you are thinking? What are you doing every day of your life? Are they being guided by your emotions and guided by your desires? And guided by your wanting to do something, or are you being led by the Lord? And are you being guided by the Holy Spirit? And are you being led and guided by Jesus in your life. Who is in charge over you? Are you listening right now? Are you listening? I want you to think for a moment. Maybe it is a few number of people. Don't worry. Just close your eyes and allow the Lord to speak to your heart tonight. The Word of God says, you know what? Seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things. You know, people are running from morning to night. They are working and trying to earn a living. Jesus says, all these things. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall wear, what kind of career you will have, what kind of person you will have as your future life partner. All these things, God is going to give it to you. If you do what? If you seek after God's kingdom. Tonight I want you to dedicate your life tonight before the Word of God. And say, Lord, I want my life to be transformed. It's a life of prayer and a life of worship. The worship is not starting on a Sunday morning at 10:15 and ending at 10:30 on Sunday morning. But it should be 24/7. Morning and night and evening. There should be a worship that flows out of your life. As you communicate with the Heavenly Father. And as He communicates back to you. And He's trying to establish His kingdom in your life. Will you give the authority of your life over to God and say, Lord, I don't want to take my life with me anymore. I want you to guide me. I want you to guard me. I want you to lead me. I want you to fill me with your presence. That I may experience your presence everywhere. Whatever I do, I will do the things that are pleasing in your sight. Can we pray this prayer tonight silently? Can you close your eyes? This is a very serious time. I don't want you to open your eyes, please. Close your eyes. Just surrender your life before God. You don't have to stand up or do anything right now. Surrender your life to God and say, Lord, I am taking a decision today. I want to live a life pleasing in your sight. I want to please you alone, not anyone else. Above my parents, above my husband, above my wife, above my children, above everyone, I want to please you, Lord. Because you come first in my life before anything else. And let me seek after your kingdom and your rule over me and your authority over me. Pray this prayer tonight. Ask God to lead you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for this wonderful time you've given us. As we meditated on your word for a few minutes. Lord God Almighty, we many times man looks from the outside. But Lord, you are the one who looks within our heart. You know the thoughts and intentions of our heart. You know what we are aiming and what we are achieving in our lives. Your promise is that you will provide us everything that we need. More than anything, Father. I want to pray for each one of our dear ones who has come tonight in this meeting. Lord, each of us have got our own personal needs. There are some of us who are sick tonight, Lord. Some of our children are sick tonight. Father, right now I pray in the name of Jesus that you stretch forth your hand towards them and you heal them right now, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us need finances, Lord. Some of us need good jobs. Some of us are need, hallelujah, new openings and new situations in our life. Father, I pray and I claim in the name of Jesus. Lord, you take over the rulership of our lives. And you lead us, Lord. I pray for my church. I pray for my pastors. I pray for our children. I pray for our youth. Lord, I pray that these days we may be able to, Lord, walk, Lord, with a passion for you. Lord, we may run with a passion for your kingdom, Lord. I want to thank you for tonight. I thank you for hearing this prayer. I bless your name tonight, Father. In the most gracious name of our Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.